So, Ralph, how are you doing on tweaking your relationship with God, the intimacy? You were feeling that a few weeks back that that was one thing that you were hoping to...
Well, I think it's going well. It's, you know, it's sometimes a little hard to tell what the measurement of progress is, but generally I feel good about it.
Good. And your Thanksgiving went well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Everybody was here.
Nice.
Had about 23 around the table, and good time was had by all.
Nice. Very good. Yeah, our whole family, all of our kids are coming in for Christmas, so we're, you know, looking forward to that. My wife and youngest daughter were in a very, very serious car accident.
Yeah, you said that. How are they doing?
Yeah, they're both recovering. My wife, she had 14 stitches in the back of her head, and so, you know, she's healing. So the physical healing is happening, I think, a lot faster than the emotional.
Yeah.
The emotional seems to be, you know, much more challenging, and then you add to that my dad's, you know, declining rapidly declining health.
Has he changed a lot in the last week?
It's gone. It seems to be going down faster. And so I appreciate your feedback.
Is he still talking to you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, he's got the voice, and so voice therapy, so it's hard for him to speak. I mean, it's hard for people to hear him.
Yeah.
But I went over and spent, you know, an hour and a half with him and my mom on Saturday, and, you know, had some real good conversations, you know, with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just all very intriguing. People, there's a gentleman that's, you know, just turning 70, and he and his wife are going through the same thing with his father-in-law, who's 98, and his father-in-law is still living on his own and very independent. And he said to me, he said, well, Mark, you know, you need to be patient, and they do change their mind, and they do change their mind, and they say yes, but then they'll change it, and da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, well, Doug, you have to be patient. I don't have to do that. I mean, just because you do it doesn't mean I have to. And so I had a frank conversation, because there's a lot of people in my parents' life that are very patient, but... You know, I talked to the pastor of the church that my dad started, that they're right next door. I mean, literally on this, you know, same property that was subdivided. So my parents walked to church there, and that's the one. And so I talked to the pastor and the chairman of the board, and I said, hey, you know, and they're like, we want to help Mark. I mean, love your dad. He started the church, you know, and, you know, they attend now there after he retired. And so they say, we want to help. But, you know, we just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so it's like all these people that want to help them, but they don't, you know, they don't know what to do. And so I'm like, well, let's fix that situation. So I told my mom and dad, I just, you know, was very direct with them and said, hey, Mom and Dad, you know, you guys seek to have my involvement, want to help you, but I'm going to approach things a little different than probably other people in your life. I mean, and so, you know, I know you guys are, you know, getting up in years, but when you agree to do something and you change that direction, that creates issues. You know, and so not that you can't change your mind, but you need to be aware that that's going to create tentativeness in people. That's going to have some people that will just kind of bow out. That's going to, you know, and so I don't think it's healthy for you guys and for your care. If we have a plan, we need to follow it. That's just my opinion. Other people have different opinion, but that's my opinion. And so I was very direct with them. You know, no emotion. Just this is what it is. And if you guys, you know, I mean, I don't mind being involved, but I'm going to be direct with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be received well. And it seems like now. You know, that things are starting to move, that the log jam of people not being aware of what they need to do, now they're aware, and they're doing it, and so I think the thing that's hardest for me is the balance, you know, between patience and things not getting done, and impatience, and things do get done, and it's like, okay.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to identify the things and their importance, because some things don't get done, and, you know, in the greater scheme of things, it doesn't make a huge difference. And other things don't get done and can make an eternal difference. So you do have to kind of weigh the importance and priorities of the things you're talking about.
Yeah, and you really, you know, set me back, stood me up, had me attentive. I think it was the last time we had a conversation. I mean, it just absolutely floored me what you said, and I'm like, wow, okay. I didn't think of that, huh? when you said, you know, we're talking about, I was using figuratively a farmer, and it's like, you know, they say they, you know, this, and you said, well, maybe they shouldn't be in farming. And I'm like, oh, my gracious, I get that. And so we had with some of the challenges with the church situation that's been in the past, you know, when those things hit and the, you know, your spiritual figure, your father, when it seems like he's off.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like death. I mean, that's the ultimate test, maybe. Is to your entire belief system.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him, and I said something. I said, Dad, you know, I personally, you know, believe that you have a lot of good years in you. And he said, well, Mark, you know, if your feet were shaking like my feet are shaking, you might have a different opinion. And I said, Dad, I think I get that. And so if you feel that you're ready to go home, you know, I'm not going to hold on to you and say, you got to live, you got to, you know, I don't feel that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, so if you feel that God's calling you home and you're at peace with that and Mom's at peace with that, I'm good with that, Dad, you know.
Well, that was good. That was important.
Yeah, I mean, to me at least, you know, so, yeah, it was very important to me. And then I said, now, Dad, if you're not at peace with that, or, I mean, I think, Dad, at your frail state and health, you can will yourself to die. And so if you're just submitting to God and saying, hey, I want to, fine. But if you're going to live, I think there needs to be a purpose. You need to see the tremendous value you can give to people if you're alive.
Yeah.
And so I just need a little help on which direction, you want to go. And
it's sort of your fish or cut bait speech.
Right. Right. And so, you know, and that's where I think, you know, at least the three brothers, I think my two sisters may be struggling with that. You know, I think that's a little maybe harder, maybe. for them to let go.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but it seems like that maybe. And so they're, I think, struggling with that some. So it was, you know, I appreciate you speaking truth into my life. It's really caused me, like, it's a paradigm shift. Like, it, like there was, that when you said that, it's like an epiphany to me. And I'm like, oh, I've got to figure out how to go ahead and come up with a question or two when people aren't doing what they, you know, what they say they should be doing.
Yeah.
To get it down into the core to say, well, maybe the reason you're not doing what you think you should be doing is because you're not doing, you shouldn't be a farmer. You know? I mean, you're not planting, you know, the field. So, you know, you should plant the field. You know, you should do that. I mean, there's such a, like, there's so much richness and depth. And that was very profound to me. And I'm looking at putting that into a process. Like, something just hit me now with, like, if people aren't doing their life's calling, they're going to have a lot of those situations where they're not doing what they should be doing.
Well, true. But, you know, to look at the same situation in the micro, very often when we've got a problem, an issue that we really don't know how to deal with, really don't want to deal with, we find ourselves going into the office and finding all the busy work we can to be busy, to avoid thinking about the important thing that we should be doing, but we don't have a clue how to go about it. And a lot of people spend their whole lives in busy work, just trying to duck the big questions, which are the real issues of their lives.
So what would you?
It's a temptation that is very, very hard to avoid, because you really have to grab hold of yourself and say, okay, enough of this nonsense. I've got to wrestle with the big issue, and the big issue may be absolutely beyond your ability or your pay grade, and that's where the Lord puts us, because that's exactly where He wants us. And in a lot of religious parlance, it's brokenness and so on. Yeah, broken, but it really is. It's where God essentially finally says, okay, enough of this. I'm going to put you so far outside your comfort zone that you got to come to me or you're going to crash and burn. And some crash and burn. But we all get, I think, faced with the necessity of confronting the issues of life. And maybe not just once. Maybe we hit that and make some right decisions, make a breakthrough for the Lord, and work with Him, co-labor with Him for years, and then until we finally kind of ease back into our comfort zone. And then He either takes us home or He forces the issue again. But when He forces the issue, it's a very uncomfortable time. because what he's really demanding is that we do the impossible, knowing that for him all things are possible, but not for us.
Huh. So what do you think the big questions are?
Well, the big question is, are the, you know, to put it in a nutshell, is the Ephesians 2:10, the good works that he has created you to do. And I think they may even vary in, at different times in your life. There may be one overarching theme, as we find in the lives of, say, Moses and the other heroes of the church. But I think there are minor themes, too. And the minor themes really amount to a lot of things that he, from time to time, makes us to know, and therefore gives us an opportunity to obey or not obey, even if we don't understand the bigger picture. And I got to thinking this morning of something that just had not, as you grow older, you see some patterns of how the Lord works that you would have been impossible to see earlier on. But in my life, this takes me back to about 1980 or before. I was involved with Young Life, and the Lord, and I had this big farm up here. I lived in Norfolk, and the Lord just put on my heart to build a great big landlocked cabin, all solar and so on, and call it the Ark and dedicate it to the use of Young Life groups because they had a need. And, yeah, I did that. And we ran those groups in the Ark for 20 years. And then by then Young Life had built their own camps within range, so they didn't need it as much. And then my daughter reached a point. She'd been running a B&B in a place where the schools weren't that good. Kids got to middle school, and she didn't want to put them in those middle schools, so I gave her the Ark and told her to move over there and where the schools were good. And it just happened to be the last all 4 or 5 years of my mother's life. And so she then lived within, you know, quarter of a mile of my mother, and was a great blessing to her, as were her children, and took care of her all of her life. And then I moved up here and then lost my wife. And, you know, she's been the greatest blessing to my wife while in her last days and is to me. But then I look back on that and I say, all of that really hinged on something the Lord was trying to do. And had I not been obedient back then, I don't know. It would have been a lot different, because my daughter would not have been on the property. And my mother wouldn't have gotten a blessing, and my wife wouldn't have gotten. So, you know, a lot of things that you don't quite understand at the time, God programs a lot of things for a lot of people that interact and end up with Romans 8:28. All things work for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. So that's just my latest example of that.
Yeah, very, you know, coming February, I turn 50, and I've kind of targeted August 1st of next year, where I want to have the day-to-day operations of Synergy off of me totally. I've got quite a bit of extra time now. I mean, I've got an extra 20 hours a week that I really don't know what to do with. So I've moved in that direction, and I want to do more. And, you know, I want Synergy running without me. And so things are in place to make all that happen. It's interesting because 10 years ago, it seems like there's kind of it can be a change every 10 years and every decade in one's life.
Uh-huh.
And my wife and our family, our seven kids, went out to Lakota Indian Reservation, and I was ramping up then to, I had everything in place to try to turn things over then. And it's like, God's like, seemed to say, Mark, I want you to take the jump now. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I am so ready. I'm ready to do it. And where do you want me to take the jump? I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, I'm ready to go base. I am ready, ready, ready. And it didn't seem like there was any doors that were open to take the jump. Like, even now I can't. Okay, like I didn't bypass any opportunities. There's nothing on a conscious level.
Yeah.
And so, but it still sticks in my head, and I'm like, okay, Mark, did you miss something? And I don't spend a lot of time. I'm like, well, I think my heart was where it needed to be. I think my willingness was needed. I mean, I think everything was needed where it was needed. So I guess if God wants me to see something I miss, he'll reveal, and if not, you know, I don't know what all that means.
Well, I find it's much easier to tell the direction the Lord's going than the timing of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
As so often you kind of get a feeling from the Lord, and then you say, oh, okay. Let's get on with it. No.
Right. Right.
And see, the things of the Lord really are so intricate that, you know, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't comprehend them because they're so intertwined with future events that we know not of.
Right.
And so it's such a complex equation that very often he's got you all set for the next move, but he can't execute until something else happens and something else is slowing it down. And you can see that if you go then back to the last, I think it's the last chapters of Daniel.
Right.
Or, you know, Michael was sent to, but he was delayed fighting with the enemy for 21 days, and therefore he was a little late arriving, according to Daniel. Have you read that last part of?
It vaguely rings the bell, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, oh, okay, here's God's plan, and he's got Michael, and he's got all these people, and Daniel all alerted. And then there's a delay. Well, yeah, okay. Doesn't change the plan, but it gets people wondering, what's going on?
Right.
Right? And it's always frustrating and debilitating to be kept waiting. Have you ever been kept waiting on an appointment? And the frustrating thing is you don't know why. was there a misunderstanding? Is he coming at all? Just what's happening?
Right. Like the whole thing with the accident.
Yeah.
That was pretty traumatic. And for me, I'm like, okay, it doesn't change anything. I mean, it doesn't change the direction, the family, the vision. And I'm like, okay, like even if I had lost my wife and my daughter, it's like, well, you know, mission's still there, and okay, it's some deviation from the course, and I'm like, okay, I lost my wife and daughter. Does God still want me to have perspective? Because if he wants me to have perspective, I mean, the perspective is, and it's one of the reasons I love to be involved in big causes like stopping child trafficking.
Uh-huh.
Because it helps me to keep grounded in that, you know, if there's a 14-year-old girl that's being raped 30 times a day, she's got no hope for anything. I'm guessing. What's that?
She does what?
Like if she is getting raped, like if she's in child trafficking, if she's getting raped 30 times a day.
Oh, dear.
If that's happening to her.
Yeah.
My guess is that she would trade places with me in a heartbeat, even with if my wife died and even if I lost. You know,
the perspective is whatever happens, you know, you're better off than somebody else. Well, and have reason to give thanks.
Right.
However, it does kind of give you pause to realize that how frail and fragile our hopes and joys are.
Well, and that's where if our hopes and joys are in the wrong thing, it's totally, I mean, it's weird. I mean, it's just, I don't know what God's doing. I don't know where, and I'm okay with that, kind of. But 3 hours, three, 4 hours before the accident, I'm over at my dad's.
Yeah.
And we're walking, you know, and he's really frail, and I'm walking with my 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And so I say, hey, Dad, you know, you're 73. I have a 14-year-old son here. What do you wish you would have known at 14 that you know at 73? And he's, you know, we're walking and he's, you know, we're listening attentively. And he said, remember, you know, the Lord in the days of your youth. And he said, And remember that your life can change in an instant.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, 3-4 hours before, you know, the accident.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, my dad's thinking in an instant in that he was pretty healthy, you know, 3-4 years ago, but, you know, now he's not.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking in an instant like, 30 seconds in 4 hours, Mark, you may lose your wife and your youngest daughter. I'm not thinking that instant. I'm not thinking that severe, that significant. And so I'm like, Mark, you're not paying attention. You know, you're not watching things close enough. You're not listening. God's giving you something that's really, really important for you to pay attention in.
Well, I think also for you to enjoy. I think sometimes we get too intense to enjoy what God's giving us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the pain of the confusion when all of that happens and my dad's stuff and everything else that's swirling around me. And I'm like, okay, I want to capture all this pain. I mean, I want to take the accident. I want to go ahead and put it on a poster. And I want to be daily reminded of, you know, my wife and my daughter.
Be daily reminded of the joy.
Right.
And I think that in regard to your father, rather than solving his problems, which may not have a solution, you might want to try to find out what capacity for enjoyment he has right now and in what. And if you could just get 1 hour of enjoyment with him, a fun time, that probably would be worth far more than an hour of working on solving his problems. And the same thing with your daughter, you know, who you almost lost or could have lost. Well, how about reconsecrating the moment and refocusing on the joy of having her and giving her joy? And the same thing with your wife. I think that it is that sometimes Lord sends us these little messengers to remind us of how good we have it in our relationships. And if we live too much in the future, you know, those relationships are going to be gone one way or another. And they're giving this to us to enjoy now, and now is the only time we can enjoy them. So, you know, it might be worth just thinking of what really makes this person happy now. And it may be something totally inconsequential or silly, but that's all right.
Right.
See if there's any way you can enjoy the moment with them.
Yeah,
and make them a little happier.
It's interesting because it keeps ringing in my ears what you said. You know, Mark, these days with your dad, you know, there's so much that you have to learn if you'll, you know, be teachable. You didn't say that, but, you know, you had so much you would learn if you're there or whatever. And so when I went over on Saturday, I mean, he was laying on the couch and he looked like he was in his coffin. I mean, it was just, he looked like he was dead. And then we start talking and interacting, and then he gets up and starts walking around the house in his walker, and he's laughing.
Oh, that's grand.
I mean.
And that's the way you can remember him, not lying there looking like he's dead.
Right. Right.
Give him a few more moments like that of laughter. That's precious.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate, thank you for, you know, speaking truth in my life. Thanks for, you know, I was reflecting, it's interesting because, you know, my dad and I have such different personalities and, you know, I mean, my brother said, you know, hey, there's stuff at the church that's happened, there's stuff with, you know, was connected back in with my dad, and then there's stuff with your kids. And he said, "Do you think you're bitter to dad?" And I'm like, I don't think so. And you've been a big part of that. And so, you know, that there are specific needs. You know, when I turned 40. I started missing my grandfather, who passed away 31 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, I need my grandpa now. I mean, and so, I mean, when you're maybe an outlier, when you think in the world and see things that it seems like that very few other people seem to be able to connect and relate and understand. It's like I was talking to one of the virtual assistants that owns her own company yesterday, and she said, I don't know, I was saying something, and she said, you know, with the way you see things, Mark, you must be very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, eh, kind of not so much. I mean, and so, you know, you've been a father figure to me, you know, in a very special way. Like, God's brought you into my life, and I think that's helped me. God's made the journey easier for me to not have bitterness to my dad, because it's like, you know what, he's done what he's done, he sees what he sees, and I don't know if he's right or wrong, but it doesn't really matter, because God is sovereign. And you know, if I've if I miss the boat with my kids, you know, in an area, I'm diligent, I'm working, I'm trying, but if I miss it, God will go ahead and he's bigger than I am.
Yeah.
You know, and if, you know, my mom or dad have missed the boat with my kids, God's bigger than that. I mean, he's going to bring in, you know, the right people at the right time to go ahead and you know, play the role that God, you know, that he knows that they need.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't even know, you know, how to express, you know, my thanks to you.
Well, I think that thanks is really due to God and not to me, because, you know, whatever you receive from me is certainly nothing that I didn't receive from him. I can only pass it on. So, that's kind of the way God works. And, you know, he, in our life, my daughter was probably the toughest of the four to raise, and has turned out to be a real blessing to so many people, and it's amazing the people around her that get affected and turn to Christ, because she's got a boldness and just a personality and a determination to do that for people. And so, you know, you see the Lord come through, and certainly none of my doing. And so God works through each one of us in the way that he chooses. And, you know, I'm glad that he has blessed you and will continue to bless you. But he blesses us so much in our relationships. And he creates each one of us very individual. Maybe some of us more individual than others, and that does create a loneliness, because you don't operate on the same wavelength with other people as much as they do.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay.
Right.
God is there, and God is the only one who's going to be with you through thick and thin. So that's the remedy or the blessing for your loneliness.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time and your consideration and your wisdom and, you know, everything you've done, you know, for me. I really, you know, I trust I've been a good steward, and I'm excited that these are recorded, and these sessions are recorded, and maybe my kids or my grandkids or my great-great-grandkids, if God still tarries, you know, would have a chance to listen to them, and also that this would be passed on to them in a very special way. So,
well, thank you, Mark, and go have a good time with your dad.
Yeah.
Some kind of way.
I will. Thanks, Ralph.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this and you say, wow, that's, you know, really cool, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. If you're outside the United States, you can call the U.S. Number, 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. And God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.